Hello, everyone. I am excited to tell you all, I am so glad I am a Christian. I am so satisfied to be a follower of Jesus Christ. I am so confident and resting in faith, in trust, in the hope that believing in Jesus gives me. This morning, I hope you also rejoice with me, you all who are believers in Christ, that He has secured your destiny, your state, now and forever. And I hope that those that do not know Jesus Christ personally or do not know much about Jesus may today come to an understanding of what the big deal about Jesus is. What is the big hope that all Christians talk about? So to start this message, I will use a line, a great line that Bruce Shelley used to start his book, Church History in Plain Language. Hear these words. He said, "Christianity is the only major religion to have at its central event the humiliation of its God." That, friends, I believe is unique. Did you hear what he said? He said that the Christian faith, out of all the faiths and religious faiths found in the world, is unique in the sense that it is the God of the Christians who decided to step in and be humiliated. And what that entails is he sent his son, Jesus Christ, to live in this world, to live the perfect life, and at some point in his adult life, at about 30 years old, he died publicly on the cross. He shed his innocent blood in place of sinners, in place of me, who had offended God, not only by belonging to a fallen race, son of Adam, the first man, but also confirmed that I am a sinner. And we all have confirmed that we are sinners by sinning ourselves. This Jesus who died was buried. The Son of God was buried in a tomb. But then something majestic happened. Something amazing happened. And this is what makes Christianity unique. In Luke 24, at the end of Luke, the disciples are retelling other disciples, "The Lord has risen." I'm going to repeat it and shout it out. The Lord is risen. He is risen indeed. And I believe Bruce Shelley is right when he says that this is unique about Christianity. This morning, the title of my sermon is "Of First Importance." Of first importance. And my text is found in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 1 through 4. So that would be the first letter from Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 15, verses 1 through 4, where we read. "Now, I would remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preach to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you are being saved, if you hold fast to the word I preach to you, unless you believed in vain." Verse 3, "For I delivered to you as of first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins in accordance with the scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day in accordance with the scriptures." And may God bless the reading of his word. The Bible reveals three important aspects from the resurrection of Jesus Christ. What are these aspects? The chronological significance, the theological significance, and the pragmatic significance. David, please define those big words. What are you trying to say? The usage of Big words like this helps you because you reduce the amount of words you use to say what you want to say. However, it calls for you to define what it is. So when I refer to the chronological significance, this pertains to the sequence of events and the timeline surrounding the crucifixion, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. So we'll be looking at the important aspect. Also, the theological significance pertains to the spiritual implications and the meaning to every believer of the Christian faith. And finally, the pragmatic significance will have to do with the practical outworking of the result of Jesus' resurrection on everyone's life, on our day-to-day life. So let's think about those things. We are reading the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians in the New Testament of the Bible. This is what is known as the Great Resurrection chapter of the Bible. In it, God reveals through the Apostle Paul details about resurrection and specifically the resurrection of Jesus. So, first of all, let's think about what we are talking about this morning. We know that traditionally we have been thinking about Jesus and his last events on earth, right? So 7 days ago, we would have been Palm Sunday. This is the most popular time of Jesus Christ when everyone is receiving him and shouting for him, Hosanna, Hallelujah, which means God save us. Praised be God. Then we have his arrest on Friday. And the Bible tells us, not necessarily chronological, but tells us thematically about it. You can pretty much read about these events in the Gospels. If you go through to the last three chapters of every one of the Gospel narrative, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you will read about this. Then we see his arrest, his trial, and finally, his death. It is a fact, Jesus did die. He died on a cross. John chapter 20, verses 16 through 19 says, so Pilate delivered him to be crucified, and he, bearing his cross, went to the Mount of Golgotha, which means the Mount of the Skull, and there he was crucified. We have specific text that tells us that. We have forensic evidence that Jesus did die. But then, this is what the gospel facts are. And we just read that. The gospel facts are that Jesus died, he was buried, and he rose physically from the dead. Now, this ought to raise a few eyebrows, because in the world we live in today, supernatural is being frowned upon. There's an anti-supernatural disposition by people. Did someone really raise from the dead, came back to life after being dead? Yes, and that's what the point of the gospel is. That's why this message is so unique, and it is so powerful. It is described as the power of God unto salvation. The chronological significance. What I wanted to do this morning, knowing that this topic would have been very long, is simply to think about three aspects of it, all laid out in this chapter. And that's where I got it from, the 15th chapter. The timing of Jesus's birth, death, burial, and resurrection was perfectly lined up, performed, or it happened perfectly, but more importantly, it was perfectly predicted. It was prophesied. That's a biblical term. Prophesied means proclaimed in advance before it happened. Before it happened. The phrase that we read twice in the verses I just read said, according to the scriptures, in accordance with scriptures. With which scriptures? Really, when he says scriptures, he means the body of the Old Testament, the law, the Psalms, and the prophets. This is the Jewish scriptures, the Old Testament, we know it as. And so the timing is perfect. Galatians 4:4 tells us that at the right time, when the fullness of time came, Jesus was born. Born of a woman, born under the law, in order, God sent forth his son in order to redeem those who were under the law so that we might receive adoption as a son. God sent Jesus at the right time. He did not send him before. He's not waiting to send a Messiah later on. He already came. And he came when the world was ready for him. You know, I mentioned this before, that the world was logistically ready when the Roman Empire had connected